Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Clayton Johnson. He is a swine veterinarian for the Carthage Veterinary Clinic in Carthage, Illinois. Clayton, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, at the 2017 American Association of Swine Veterinarians Conference, you gave a presentation on PRRS management strategies. That's a pretty broad topic, yeah. But I guess the central question is, do you try to eliminate PRRS or control PRRS?
Oh, I think for me to oversimplify that down to a yes or no answer would be doing a great disservice to the complexity that comes with PRRS management. I think in each situation, you should strive to answer that question, and you should get it to I'm going to control the virus and maintain antibody presence, or I'm going to eliminate the virus. But I don't think there's one universal answer. The AASV does have a position that elimination is our long-term goal, but that is very difficult, and attempts to eliminate that are inappropriate may actually hinder our PRRS management by creating naive animals in a situation where they're not going to stay naive and they propagate disease at a greater level than an immune animal.
And I certainly wasn't trying to oversimplify it, but how do you go about making that decision and developing that strategy?
Absolutely. So there's been some really nice research done. Daniel Linhares is a reference that I always use. He's done some tremendous work to try and estimate the value of having immunity in the face of a new PRRS infection. And so if you can value the immunity, you can almost create a partial budget where you look at the outcomes with and without immunity in the face of a new PRRS outbreak. And then you estimate the number of breaks that you have over a given course of time. And we generally look at the individual herd's break rate to try and estimate that. Much like predicting the weather, we kind of look at patterns and how often have bad events happened, and then try and forecast, do we think that that's going to stay the same? And generally, we assume it likely is going to stay the same unless we've filtered a barn or had a dramatic change in pig density in the area.
And you talk about a break rate. What's the baseline there?
Yeah, it's really variable by geography. There are many herds in the United States that have never been infected with PRRS, are in tremendous locations, and will likely never be infected with PRRS. We also have many herds that experience outbreaks, unfortunately, every year, sometimes even more frequently than every year. As we look at our entire industry, generally we fall somewhere between 25% and 40% cumulative incidence over the course of a year that sows get infected. So 25 to 40% as an industry.
So let's talk about control. If you've made a decision to control, what would be the next step, logically?
Yeah, if you've made a decision to control, generally you've had a PRRS outbreak. And so at that point, your goal is to maintain immunity in your herd. The first thing that you want to do is you want to eliminate generally wild type virus. So you want the bad actor PRRS virus pushed out of that herd. We'll mostly do that through what's called a load, close, and expose methodology, where we'll bring a population up to its maximum capacity within that farm, and then we will close the population to new introductions. And we, with time, will burn that virus out. We'll move the population from infected to resistant, build up antibodies, and give no place for the virus to go hide in a naive animal and to propagate there. And we'll push the wild-type virus out, but we'll maintain immunity by continuing to use almost always modified live vaccine to some extent. Some folks may use live virus inoculation if they feel like that's really important for them. Some folks may use some killed PRRS vaccine technologies. But I'd say modified live virus is probably the most common way in which you're going to maintain immunity going forward.
And when you're getting into the grower pigs, what is the strategy for eliminating or controlling the disease?
Yeah, most of our farms today in the industry are all in, all out. So we already have the closure built in if we have an infection come into the growing pigs. If we feel like infection is imminent, we will vaccinate. We will vaccinate the pigs, generally again with a modified live vaccine being the most common, but some use of killed vaccine as well. And we will try to get those animals as immune as possible to decrease the performance consequences if the PRRS virus comes in. Generally with growing pigs and PRRS, the duration of infection is so long, those pigs are going to go to market, potentially still shedding some PRRS, but you don't think so much about an elimination plan because the pigs are going to eliminate it on their own or go to market one way or the other.
So duration of immunity of the vaccine's got to be pretty important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our growing pigs are generally on feed for about 6 months, mm-hmm. and you would absolutely want a 6 month duration of immunity.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the co-infections that accompany PRRS, because PRRS hardly ever appears alone. Yep. I imagine if you want to develop a sound control program, you've got to be looking also at swine flu, mycoplasma, others.
That's right.
How do you bring all these together?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that we as veterinarians do sometimes is try to eat the elephant one bite at a time, if you will. Mm-hmm. And if we've got PRRS, if we've got flu, if we've got mycoplasma, we've got PCV, we've got strep, you have various ability to control each of those diseases. And depending on which one appears to be the biggest issue, you may go after individual diseases to start with. I'd say mycoplasma is probably the best example in our industry today. Veterinarians are taking a more aggressive approach with eliminating mycoplasma because they say, well, I can't control PRRS as easily as I can a bacteria, which I can eliminate very consistently. And PRRS with mycoplasma is kind of a 1+1=3 situation. Mm-hmm. And if I can take one of those ones out, I can have a 2-for-1 impact. And my ability to take PRRS out may be more difficult than my ability to take mycoplasma, so I'm going to start there.
So mycoplasma is sort of the first bite out of the elephant, if you will.
That's correct.
Okay. So let's talk about elimination. Mm-hmm. This is a longer-term plan. You said this is what AASV would like to set as a goal. Mm-hmm. How do you know that a herd might be a good candidate for elimination?
Break rate again comes into play. So how often have we had a new outbreak? And that's probably the biggest thing that I want to consider for, is it appropriate for that herd to vaccinate at this point, to eliminate at this point. If the herd has a break rate that's very regular, i.e. they have high numbers of novel introductions of PRRS virus, you want to think about some additional technology or some additional biosecurity to minimize the disease outbreak rate before you eliminate it. And you really want to get to a point where your break rates are, let's say, at least less often than once every 3 years. So you go at least 3 years in between breaks before it's valuable to eliminate PRRS.
Now, we've talked a lot about vaccination. What other tools are available to veterinarians and also to producers to minimize the impact of PRRS?
Yeah. The toolbox is getting bigger every single day. And I think we as veterinarians need to take the onus to go figure out how do we economically optimize each of those tools in the toolbox, because we don't just have one screwdriver to go use on every problem. Some of the things that come to mind outside of just vaccinations that are starting to come to market would be area regional control projects. Those are groups of producers that are working together to share site information. What is my PRRS status? What is my sequence of a PRRS if I have it? What am I doing to control PRRS? And how can I learn from the PRRS management strategies of my neighbors? Those have been very successful, and I think there's even some data out of the Minnesota project that if you participate in that project, your PRRS break rate has gone down more relative to your neighbors. And so that's been very exciting for me to see that they have been successful.
Have you been doing that at Carthage?
We've participated in one, and in my previous career at the MASH office, you've participated in them. They are each unique, so the projects are not under one global umbrella or one national umbrella of a project, but each project is set up unique to the geography and the participants and what do they want to do. And so that's a lot of fun as a veterinarian, where you get to interact with different folks with different goals and try and accomplish. Some of them are not elimination goals. Some of them are control goals, where they say, we aren't in a position where elimination is a good idea. Our goal is to control and minimize the outbreak impact.
And I would think that in a pig-dense area, whether it be Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, yeah, something like that, that teamwork would really go a long way.
It goes a heck of a long way. You've got to sometimes work with producers to get them comfortable with sharing the data. But generally, there's some confidentiality agreements that get signed, some I agree to not hold harm agreements. And people get nervous about that. But I think with good communication, you can build a little trust. Once you've got trust, the discussion can start.
Well, and pork producers can be an independent sort.
Absolutely. I think in animal agriculture, we all enjoy our independence. And it's not an obstacle that can't be overcome, though.
We have talked about these groups. What are some other things that we could be doing better to hold the line on PRRS?
Yeah. So the next thing that comes to mind would be genetic resistance, for lack of a better term. PIC has made some big news over the last 18 months now, where they've announced a partnership with the University of Missouri to pursue some gene editing technology that allows them to remove the ability for the pig to create a specific protein that allows PRRS infection. And in very small scale studies, they have demonstrated that pigs exposed to PRRS that have this gene edit incorporated into their genome do not become infected with PRRS. That technology is still a ways from being market ready. But it's very exciting for us as veterinarians to think that you could have a solution that could be less of a incremental step and potentially something that could take a big chunk out of our PERS infections.
And maybe other diseases too?
Absolutely. The technology is well beyond the scope of my understanding. But I think understanding how, probably the best way I could explain it, is understanding how each individual disease unlocks the key that is the disease pathway in the host, understanding that and then coming up with a way to kind of block that lock that they're trying to unlock is a great way for us to try and tackle disease.
One last thing, biosecurity. Everybody knows how important it is. You probably have talked about it until you're blue in the face.
Yep.
What could the industry be doing better? Or when you go out to these farms, what are the lapses in security that you see?
You know, I'm impressed every day when I go to farms on biosecurity. Regardless of what operation you're in, people very much value it. Anybody who's had a disease outbreak knows the pain of a disease outbreak, the physical pain of taking care of sick pigs, and the emotional pain because we all as caretakers want to do a good job of raising healthy animals. So I get a lot of buy-in on biosecurity. I think we as veterinarians have to continue to explain biosecurity, share the why behind the practices we're doing. I find a lot of times farms give me that feedback that, Doc, tell me why we do this. You know, I'll do it, but I get a little bit more buy-in if you explain the why. I think that helps. I think in terms of opportunities, air filtration continues to become more and more cost-effective to implement. We've had our hiccups with negative pressure air filtration. We've changed some ventilation designs, went more towards positive pressure air filtration in our system. We think that's a more forgiving air filtration system because anytime you have a gap in the facility, you're actually exhausting air instead of now bringing unfiltered air into the facility that you have in negative pressure. So I think positive pressure air filtration is a tremendous opportunity for us to improve biosecurity even further from where we are today.
Seems like the industry is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, we've been talking to Dr. Clayton Johnson. He is a veterinarian for the Carthage Vet Clinic in Carthage, Illinois. Clayton, again, thank you for all your time and insights.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
You bet.